This is the Travel Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Propelic, bringing you the news and insights and what's working and not working in today's competitive transportation and tourism landscape. From emerging brands to the most established professionals, these lessons of intelligent marketing will help your marketing plan travel further.
I am super excited today to introduce my friend Travis Talent. He is the VP of SEO at Brain Labs, which is a big enterprise SEO shop global, but he previously was in a company called Booyah. I think he was leading their SEO department as well, and did a lot of work with mountain travel, which we're going to talk about for the first 10 minutes today. We're going to dive in and then expand out. For anybody who's not interested in mountain travel, feel free to just skip ahead to about 10 minutes in that show. But we had an awesome conversation about the state of where SEO is now, search generative experience, what we're expecting, what the current algorithm update that's rolling out in March 2024 when we recorded it looks like, and then just overall marketing channel usage and the landscape of marketing, both in mountain travel and the broader travel industry. So excited to dive in with Travis, my good friend for nearly 4 years now, I think, and we'll just go ahead and get started. Well, hello, Travis. It's very good to see you again.
Yes, great to see you, Brennan. How have you been?
I've been doing good. It's good to see you. We've probably known each other for what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah, about.
And just like transiently in passing, we'll reconnect at certain points. I don't even remember how we met.
I think it was LinkedIn, the power of the internet. That's the beauty of it.
I'm excited to dive in today. I think this is going to be a great conversation. We don't typically talk to other agency side marketers, but the great thing about agency side marketers is that they have lots of reps. And we think of experience in the marketing world, whether it be travel marketing or any category, as the more similar situations you see, the more effective your decision-making can be because of that pattern recognition. So specifically, as we're coming up to a conference that I'll be speaking at in a couple of weeks called Mountain Travel Symposium, and noting that you have a lot of mountain travel experience, I want to kind of dive in and talk a little bit about that today. I'm excited to hear more. You've got experience across categories, but you specifically in your time at Booyah, I believe in Denver, right?
Yes.
And while you were there, I know that they do. You had a lot of experience working with, what were some of the brands that you mentioned?
Yeah, Aspen Skiing Company helped see through their entire rebrand, new site launch, Arapahoe Basin, which just sold to Alterra Mountain Co., Snowbird, and a handful of other ski resorts and mountain resorts all over Colorado, Utah, and Idaho. I miss working in the category. It's such a fun category. Anytime I would get to go on site to clients, it was always just a dream seeing the beauty of it all.
And are you a skier?
I am, yes.
Cool. So you get to drive like an hour and that's it because you live in Denver to go.
Yeah.
Whereas I have to get on a plane for 3 hours and like make a whole deal of it. I'm so jealous. That's incredible. We'll go ahead and just dive right in. So it's interesting. Mountain travel is very different because a lot of it is driven by conditions, right? So you have shorter term booking windows than other times of the year. And then sometimes people plan far enough in advance and cancellation rates are higher. It's a very interesting segment of travel marketing. What are some insights that you learned in your time working with mountain companies, with winter travel?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. At times it can very much feel like boom or bust. And I have found that the brands that perform better, be that ski resorts, hotels, et cetera, in these areas are the ones that offer the most flexibility and really eliminate the fear around the conditions. Because if you don't know what conditions are going to be like, that you give pause before you're about to spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 on a trip. So being able to communicate that type of flexibility in terms of cancellation policies, being able to rebook rooms, so on and so forth, can really help alleviate a lot of that conversion anxiety and help move stuff along. The other thing I would say is really being able to communicate not only the vision, I feel like most mountain travel organizations do that well, but also just the basics, the what, the how. Where do you park? How do you get there? Even when conditions are bad, what happens if the highway is closed on the way up?
Are you talking about Snowbird by any chance? Little Cottonwood Canyon? Yeah.
Yeah. It's all of them. It just happens. And it's the nature of the beast in this category.
That's a very interesting piece. Let's dive a little bit into the customer journey, the research. So travel, like mountain travel destinations do a great job through their campaigns on the PR side, on the visual side, on the social side of driving interest into their destination. But on the organic search side, it's very interesting. The broad searches like, where should I go for winter skiing? Like, that's great, but really owning that narrative of what are the answers to the common questions, the FAQs, right? That's a really important part of the SEO strategy. When you think about organic search, which I know is your area of expertise as the VP of SEO right now at Brain Labs, what would you say an SEO strategy has to consider for a mountain travel company?
Yeah, to your point, nailing the basics goes a really, really long way. I think what I typically see in this category is so much of the visuals, so much of selling the vision that the basics are often forgotten. And that's not helpful for a website user who is unfamiliar with the area or your brand. And it's also not helpful for Google search either. So a lot of times what you see in this category is people perform really, really well for brand, but they don't perform that well for non-brand. And that is definitely a huge area of opportunity for a lot of organizations in this category. And certainly the other thing I've seen is because of the lack of underinvestment from this category in organic search, those that do invest in organic search typically see really fast results and really good results only because there's not a ton of investment from others. So competition is relatively low in that space.
Got it. Interesting. And then when you, I guess, scale out and look at the total marketing landscape for an Aspen skiing company, an Alterra resort, a Vail resort, which are what I just named the two of the companies that own pretty much everything, in the States at least.
Yep.
What, from a channel standpoint, I believe even though your title says SEO in it, I imagine you have a fairly decent understanding of channel structure. How would you look at structuring a marketing budget for a mountain travel company, or at least what channels need to be part of a strategy?
Ooh, fascinating. I would say the highest ROI that I've seen in terms of broad media mix in this category is email marketing is at the top. Really leaning into the loyalist and getting them to come back year after year, that will be your bread and butter. I think beyond that, organic search should absolutely be up there again in terms of ROI. It's a pretty cheap channel to acquire new customers. And then in my opinion comes paid search and then paid social. But what's funny is a lot of brands in this space flip that almost and they spend a ton of money on paid media.
They love the visuals.
Yeah. Love the visuals. And I will say, look, investing in creative makes a ton of sense. But also when you're surrounded by beautiful mountains and scenery, it kind of sells itself. And so I think it's definitely more important to communicate all of the hows and the whats than it is the overall imagery, if you will.
I'm impressed that an SEO guy managed to put a channel above organic search. You said email first. That fascinates me. And it doesn't surprise me even remotely that paid is at the end of the list. So let's dig into your area of expertise, this organic search strategy. So from a consideration standpoint, this is, again, in the context of an era where we're moving into a cookieless world. We're not going to have as much ability to retarget the people that are entering at the top of the funnel. When we look at organic search strategy and maybe middle and bottom of funnel, I mean, I know that it's been a little while. What are the types of terms when you think about the actual keywords that are being targeted? Where should a mountain company look in terms of just general direction for search term types?
Yeah, I would say start off with anything like travel guide related. So like things to do, where to eat, shopping. What you'll find in this category is a lot of town run or city run websites are also underinvested. And even though they may have a things to do guide or something that's downloadable or printable, their SEO is typically not great. So by you providing that as a private resort or company, you fill the gap in that area. And what I've found is it's relatively easy to rank for those. And then, of course, backing that into all of the things that you offer. A lot of hotels in these areas will offer bike rentals or ski rentals or things to do in and of themselves. And if that is not communicated clearly on that user journey path on the website, a lot of times people will find other areas to go book. And that's leaving valuable revenue and add-ons to that booking on the table just from a bad site experience and user experience because someone doesn't realize that that is an amenity that's offered.
Got it. You're here. You've got the SEO background. It's been a pretty interesting couple of weeks lately, to say the very least.
I would say years, but weeks also.
The day we're recording this, for anybody that is not familiar, is March 20th, 2024, which is about 15 days after the most, I would say, alarming Google press release that I've seen in a while for SEOs, where the typical guidance is, hey, we're rolling out a core update. It's going to take 2 weeks. We'll let you know when it's done. This time it was like, we're rolling out something huge. We don't know exactly how long it's going to take. It's looking like about a month, and we'll let you know when it's done. And then the next day you just see websites start falling out of search completely.
Yeah.
And then some of them are like back now and thriving. We're still in the middle of the rollout period. Brain Labs, just for our broader audience and for those who are not in the mountain world specifically, what is the current guidance that y'all are giving? What are you seeing in the midst of this current update that we're going through right now?
Yeah, to be honest, in my opinion, it was long overdue. I think there was a lot of chatter in the space of how Google search results were becoming lower quality over time. And even in my own personal searches, I felt like Reddit was at the top of every single search. And don't get me wrong, I love a good Reddit session, but when I'm Googling something, I want authoritative answers. I don't necessarily want to read through an entire forum, you know? So to me, this is just a recalibration of what's ultimately happening. Now, Brain Labs works with very large enterprise brands, Adidas, Capital One. So at the outset, what we see in the data is no one we work with is that affected by this. I would say most of the sites that are affected are sites that were really trying to roll out vast scale of content, at times using AI, at other times just low quality writing in general. And that's not what any of our brands do. Because they are large enterprise brands, there are brand marketing teams involved and so on and so forth. So to me, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I see this as more of a recalibration on Google's side than anything to be super nervous about, unless, of course, you were intentionally trying to game the Google system. And
is that not like our jobs as a whole?
I don't think that's not my job. My job to me is to create wonderful website experiences and help people on their search journey.
That's so awesome. I admire you. That's so awesome. Okay, so let's like get into a specific example just for fun. When we think about website content, I forget what the specific terminology they used for it at Google, but like the large scale content, large scale quote unquote unhelpful content.
Yeah.
One of the linchpin SEO strategies for companies with a big database is programmatic SEO, launching a bunch of pages that target very long tail terms, hundreds of thousands, tens, whatever the number is, answering questions. For instance, when you look at a site like Expedia, best flights from Austin to Denver, right?
Yep.
That right there is, I would say, middle. And that's not long tail. That's searched fairly frequently. But that's an example of a programmatic page that's using an existing database, generating content, and bringing it to the table. Do you think that content deserves to rank?
Deserves is an interesting word there. I would say there's an entire spectrum, right, of quality. I think if that page is not thin content and it's actually useful to a searcher, then of course it deserves to rank because it's helping someone on their journey. To your point though, Brennan, a lot of these pages are typically super thin content. It's like an H1 with maybe like a sentence or two under it, and then some JavaScript injection of, you know, some CTA or interactive element. And that does not deserve to rank because it's not providing any useful information, internal linking to other guides that help people on their journey. I also think, again, this is just kind of writing on the wall with something like search generative experience entering the space. Like SGE will probably answer any of those types of terms anyway. So this could just be a stair step in that direction, letting sites know like, hey, you kind of need to figure out another strategy to acquire traffic because in the long run, this is going to be owned by some other mechanism.
Agreed. All the top of funnel queries, top and upper middle funnel queries. So continue with me on one of my many non sequiturs today in only the last 16 minutes that we've been talking. SEO, unlike paid media, where you've got a clear ROAS and you have a clear visual as to where the click started and where the conversions ended and where the conversion happened. SEO is a little bit more nebulous in that respect. So what KPIs do you prioritize? How do you track and optimize your campaigns in your career as an SEO?
Yeah, this is maybe going to sound a little weird, but I very much have a business mind when it comes to everything I do. So in my opinion, revenue or transactions, some type of conversion should always be your top KPI. I think it does a disservice in any marketing realm for that not to be your top KPI, especially in the travel sector where, you know, heads in beds, getting people to buy passes, etc. Like that matters a lot, especially in a category where sometimes you only have 4 or 5 months to make 80% of your annual revenue. It's really, really important to track that on everyday basis. And then, of course, you ladder that down into what keywords do you need to own in order to ultimately hit those revenue goals? How do you maintain top spots in those keywords? And I think the most effective way to do that is to group those keywords into categories and then ultimately track the share of voice for that group of keywords. And if you do that well, then that can really show you how you're performing in that space while also aligning the broader goal to revenue. You can forecast if we add this new keyword group with some type of hub and spoke content model on the site, what is that ultimately going to yield in terms of revenue? And is the juice worth the squeeze at that point?
Yeah, I think we're fairly well aligned. One of the things we say at Propelic, it's one of our five key pillars, is the bookings are the North Star, revenue generation is the North Star, irrespective of how we get there. Integrated search and social strategy, driving bookings is the outcome. And however you can do that, the strategy of driving top of funnel content and retargeting on paid social, that drives bookings now. That's not going to drive bookings next year when we don't have the ability to follow those users through their initial hit on our website to a conversion through paid social. So totally in agreement on that. On the business side, making the win rather than the brand side with SEO. So what's in your marketing tech stack? What's in your reporting tool set? When you look at executing SEO, what are the tools that you need to make it successful?
Yeah, Brainlabs has a pretty deep toolbox. At the very top of that is SEO Clarity. Think of that as SEMrush on steroids. It's similar to BrightEdge, but much cheaper. And they are also just a fantastic team to work with. And then beyond that, we have SEMrush, we have Ahrefs, we have Screaming Frog. We've cycled through other tools like DeepCrawl or now Luminar.
Yeah.
Whatever rebrand they did. And then most recently, we've added SparkToro, which is great for audience planning and really backing keyword research into audiences. And then we've also recently added Mag AI, which allows you access to any of the large language models out there, ChatGPT, Cloud, and that has really been great just in terms of data analysis and being able to use loads of LLMs as a team.
How are you leveraging those? Is it for content creation primarily?
No, so we don't do any AI-generated content today. I would say that process is AI assisted. We'll use it to help generate briefs, to help ensure content matches brand guidelines, content guidelines, etc. And then we also use it for quite a bit of data analysis. So being able to really understand user journey flows, that type of stuff. Of course, always ensuring that the data is scraped of any private client information. And then the other way we've used it is helping to normalize a lot of data scales. So a lot of times if we're trying to prioritize pages based on traffic, backlinks, so on and so forth, all of those scales are different. And LLM is really, really good at being able to say, okay, let's look at all of those scales in that spectrum within that column and then normalize that across all those scales. So then you can have a super great priority list that comes out the other side.
Gotcha. Okay, so it sounds like there's a lot of leaning in on measurement and analysis tools being really a key to strategic decision making. When you look at SEO as a channel, taking a little bit step back, that non sequitur number 18 of the day. That's the motto for today's.
Love it.
Travis just here for the party, it sounds like. But SEO plays nicely with other channels in a lot of cases. Of all the channels, when you think of SEO next to whether it be something as high level in brand as video or print promotion to something as performance marketing driven as paid media and paid search, what channel do you think plays best with SEO and makes SEO perform best when you add them two together and get the most out of each other?
In my opinion, SEO can and should play with every single channel. SEO is the only channel beyond conversion rate optimization that touches a website. With that, I think it is the responsibility of an SEO to not only try to perform well in Google, but again, to improve a website experience, that user journey, and that touches any channel that's driving to the website. Now, if you want me to answer your question in a more straight format, I think where it's going is video. And I think that with the rise of video and shift in consumer behavior from the likes of TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, I think as those start to integrate more and more within the search engine results, people are going to want to see video and consume content in that kind of way more than written media. And I think it's just a matter of time before search engines kind of catch up to that. And what we've been advising clients for the better part of 2 years at this point is really, really start investing in more video content creation and not just written content creation. And boy, is that difficult to convince brands to do.
Yeah, video is the most expensive type of content you can possibly create.
It is. And the ROI from it is very, very difficult to track. I would say certainly more so than anything text-based.
Well, hopefully it'll get less expensive as some of these video AI models start being an option. And then, of course, make video a less valuable channel like we did immediately.
I know. Yeah, it's a cycle, that's for sure. But some new medium will come out, I'm sure, you know, whether that's AR or VR, whatever. And that'll flip everything on its head.
Well, I think for like how to wrap up our conversation today is to ask a very gentle, non-polarizing and straightforward question, but I've decided to do the exact opposite. So SGE, you mentioned it earlier, right? This is the thing that some brands are excited about, most brands are terrified about, because brands that drive content, drive their marketing funnels through the top of the funnel down to the bottom, that top of funnel traffic will get largely absorbed most likely by SGE. If it rolls out, do you think it's going to be anything that rolls out soon? Will it be similar to its current state? And what do you think the timeline looks like?
I very much want to preface, this is all speculation. No one has an answer for this. But in my opinion, as with any broad new SERP feature, there's going to be loads of testing. And I think with this especially, it's going to take a lot more time than any of those other SERP features because of how dramatic of a shift it is. I think the other thing that gives me pause in terms of it being a flip of a switch and rolling out overnight is Google's own revenue model, you know, is 80% pay per click. And if less people are clicking, then that obviously impacts their bottom line. The other part here is I think there are a lot of people who are saying Google has to make this shift in order to maintain a competitive edge. I don't agree with that. And I haven't seen data that shows consumers actually prefer this type of search result or search answer over any of the others. And I think a great example of that is Bing Chat has been out for a while now, I believe over a year, and Bing has gained zero market share since that shift. So the consumer desire just isn't there. Otherwise, we would see that shift. Now, on the other side of that, the consumer desire for video results is there. And that's why we've seen TikTok take off. That's why we've seen YouTube take off. And to me, that's almost the greater threat from a competitive lens to Google. And I think SGE is largely just, I could see it going a few different ways. One, just fizzling out. Two, Google using its data set to really realize when it is beneficial and when it's not, and it getting rolled out in a very narrow sense. Or three, it just says, screw it, rolls it out, and then figures it out. And we've kind of seen that in a lot of Google's recent changes. You know, like they break things and then they fix them with an algorithm update that everyone freaks out about.
And that is, we're rolling out this algorithm update to fix some of the problems caused by the last one. That's the funny thing. It's such a large beast now that there's so many unintended consequences of a single update that they make that it's hard to know exactly what's going to happen as a result of it. I do agree the search quality has deteriorated a little bit over time. I think Google's leaning more and more into Reddit from everything I've seen. I wonder if at the end of this update, if we see Reddit's overall visibility in search go up or down. I think it's going to go up based on the last couple of weeks of search. Have you noticed it more over the past couple of weeks or less?
I've definitely noticed it more. A funny example of this that's blending Reddit and SGE. I recently bought a mountain house in Twin Lakes, Colorado, and Starlink is the only internet that works there. So doing loads of research around Starlink, and the SGE result on my mobile device was you can use Starlink from anywhere where there's no people and no clothes. And at first I thought it was SGE hallucinating, and I clicked into the source that was Reddit, and that was in the forum. Someone made a joke in a forum saying that, and Google pulled that out as the snippet. So to that point, And look, there's probably loads more examples around that. And that's a funny example, but I'm worried about the situations where that can have dire consequences. If someone is looking up something medical, or, you know, is it safe to leave a pizza box in the oven or something, right? And it gives a bad result and someone lights their house on fire. That is an awful outcome of that tech.
Yeah. Well, thank you, AI. Thank you. Yes. So you got a mountain house. The last question I typically ask on this show is, where are you traveling next?
Big plans. I'm going to the UK for Brighton SEO. So that will be fun. And then after that is Japan in May for my birthday. So very excited. But beyond that, no more travel for the year. Just trying to get this house set up and enjoy it.
Have you been to Japan before?
Have I been? No, it'll be my very first time.
So you actually made a recommendation of a restaurant. Sole, who's sitting in the producer room of this podcast, and I went to that restaurant in Barcelona. If you need recommendations for Tokyo, I just went there for my honeymoon.
Okay.
Feel free to reach out. My birthday is also coming up in 2 days, and I will be in Vegas. So,
well, happy early birthday and enjoy Vegas. That sounds fun.
Same to you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Anything else you want to share?
No, this was great, Brennan. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck speaking at the Mountain Travel Symposium, and I hope you have fun.
Thank you so much, Travis. Appreciate you joining me today.
Thanks.
For more empowering ideas, visit propelic.com. We're on a mission to create more diversity in thought for the planet and dedicated to helping brands, both large and small, increase their reach through intelligent travel, transportation, and tourism marketing. PROPELLIC.com.